Well, we're talking about an interesting part of the world, and it seems like those of us who are the panelists today have got a little bit of British or English blood in us. Isn't that right?
That's right.
That's correct.
You know, and a lot of people that come from different places of the world. Every place has scenery that's special, food that's special. But what's one thing that's very special about England?
Well, for me, I suppose I would say some of the writers. England is very famous for its literature, and that's really what our article is about.
That's true. In fact, even today, I find that things that are written by people in England are really very interesting.
I do too. There's so many books now in the 21st century that are from British authors, and many of them have become a series of books, and they're popular, and they've been made into movies as well. And I also like the fact that when I'm in England, I always combine the literature that I love, but also the history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good combination. And then tea everywhere I go.
That's true. But they even drink coffee there now, too. Coffee and tea. But let's get to the literature part. And yesterday we talked about the article on page 16. Today we're going to go to page 17. And we're going to review what we did yesterday. What places did we talk about? Let's just say something briefly about, what about Bath?
Well, like you said, yesterday we talked about Bath, which was an old Roman city. So it's a very, very old city that was famous for its baths. And that's how it got its name, I guess. We mentioned three famous writers who mm-hmm. come from there. The most famous of them was Jane Austen, and we learned that she didn't have an entirely wonderful time in Bath.
But she's very celebrated now.
That's right, but she's celebrated now.
That's true. And then we talked about London, and there's so much you could say about London, but what were we talking about, the storytellers of London?
Well, you know, we were talking, Doris, about some wonderful authors in London. I think of Helen Fielding, who wrote Bridget Jones books, more of a modern day author. We also have, of course, Charles Dickens.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a good English storyteller, and which, of course, wrote Canterbury Tales.
Okay, so there's a lot of things that we could talk about London, but we're going to go over to a place that's not too far from London. It's what, northwest from London?
Yeah, a little north and a little west of London. That's right, Doris.
And the name of the place is Oxford. And whenever you hear the word Oxford, you usually think of Oxford University because that's so famous, isn't it?
That's right.
So today, on page 17, we'll talk a little bit about Oxford and what it means as far as literature is concerned. So let's begin today with Oxford.
Three, Oxford. Although Oxford is best known as home to one of the world's oldest and most respected universities, this beautiful city has also produced some of the finest fiction writers of all time, including a few noteworthy writers of children's literature and fantasy. Lewis Carroll wrote Alice's Adventures in Wonderland while living in the city, as well as the sequel, Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings here, while his friend and colleague C.S. Lewis penned The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in Oxford.
Well, Oxford has quite a list of very famous writers there.
That's right, and the ones we talk about specifically here are well-known children's writers. They say writers of children's literature. And so yesterday we mentioned that usually when we use this word literature, we're not talking about all kinds of books that you read. Instead, we're talking about sort of classic, maybe creative writing books. That
very well-written books.
That
right?
People agree are like really good examples of using the English language. And so these are all famous writers, and these ones focus on writing literature for children.
Well, it did say that, you know, this is the home of the oldest and one of the most respected universities, Oxford, but they've also produced some of the finest fiction writers of all time. So it's known for literary and education. When you think of Oxford, you do think of people who are well-trained in writing.
That's right, and I'm glad they bring that, what you were saying about the writer's doors, to our attention, the word noteworthy. Noteworthy means deserving attention because they're important or interesting. And that's definitely what these authors are and the books they've put out, the beautiful literature they've given us are. They're noteworthy.
Noteworthy is actually a really interesting word because of sort of the feeling it gives you. It puts together two words, the word note, like take a note, and worthy, meaning something is worth doing. And so the idea here is that you hear about this writer and they're so good that you decide to write it down in your notebook, right? So it's worth remembering and writing down.
Well, and you would think of stories, you know, like Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I think a lot of people, even throughout Asia, because these things have been translated into Chinese even, and they know about Alice in Wonderland.
Of course.
That when you were little?
Of course. And so many people in Asia, the whole continent, study these books because they take English. Mm-hmm. And they go to university or they go to college. And, you know, it's interesting to read books like Lewis Carroll's wrote Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass and what Alice found there. I guess we read them either as children or somebody reads them to us.
I know. I remember these books, and they were in the library. We checked them out and so forth. But, you know, the next one, though, everybody knows about Tolkien's Hobbit. That's very famous.
That's right. In the last few years, they've remade movies, probably actually the first big movies that have showed these books. And so they are pretty well known. And, of course, J.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, was friends with a very famous writer named C.S. Lewis.
And C.S. Lewis wrote a lot of Christian books, didn't he?
He did. But the ones he's probably most famous for are his children's books.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a bunch of books about an imaginary place called Narnia. And the first one was called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It tells us here he penned it. And that's an interesting word that really just means he wrote it.
He didn't have a typewriter, I guess.
That's right. The idea is he wrote it with a pen, and then it was typed out later. So he wrote it, but he used a pen when he wrote
it. He's not that old. He died in 1963, so he probably did have a typewriter, C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
But a lot of those famous authors did certainly put paper to pen, that's for sure. And, you know, Oxford is a lovely university to tour, because it has beautiful scenery, beautiful buildings.
Have you been there?
I have been to its rival. I've been to Cambridge.
Oh, Cambridge.
Where
C.S.
Lewis spent his last decade of his life.
Right.
But I have not been to Oxford yet, but I know I'm going to England again soon.
Well, if you go there, of course, you not only go to Oxford, but one place that I think everybody should go to is Stratford-upon-Avon, because everybody knows about that place because of whom? Shakespeare, right?
Shakespeare,
and
who
hasn't studied Shakespeare? So we're going to find out about Stratford on the River Avon.
Four. Stratford-upon-Avon. The birthplace of William Shakespeare, Stratford-upon-Avon has built an entire tourism industry around the Bard. Although many of Shakespeare's plays were set in far-flung destinations such as Greece, Italy, Denmark, and a make-believe island in the middle of the ocean, there are still plenty of attractions that fans won't want to miss. Here, you can visit Shakespeare's birthplace along with the homes of his mother, daughter, and granddaughter. Most visitors also make a point of catching a performance at the Royal Shakespeare Company. And for the full Stratford experience, travelers can stay the night at one of the town's many historic hotels. Bilsley Manor Hotel is a popular choice. And rumor has it that Shakespeare married Anne Hathaway in a tiny chapel on the grounds way back in 1582.
So that's the birthplace of William Shakespeare. And, you know, we have to learn that in high school and university, and they have Shakespeare plays that have been made into movies, and even the schools here in Taiwan put on Shakespeare plays sometimes.
And if you look to the right-hand side, the lower right-hand side of page 17, you can actually see a picture of Shakespeare's birthplace. They have a picture of a house there.
Now, that was a long time ago, and that's a pretty big house for those days, I think.
Yeah,
you?
It looks like he was a rich kid.
Hey? It looks like it, you know.
You know, I find it interesting that a lot of us don't know or don't remember that he also had what we would call a nickname, because he was also referred to as the Bard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's an interesting name, because a bard is actually sort of a career that people don't really have anymore. It was kind of a person who was like a poet and told stories and sang maybe in a king's court.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like an entertainer. And it's interesting because when we talk about Shakespeare as a bard, we actually capitalize the B. Mm-hmm. Because we're saying he's like the most famous, the most respectable of all of these bards.
And we'll often hear in cities that they're having a festival called the Bard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's referring to they're giving Shakespearean plays live in their parks. And oftentimes you can go see them just by donation.
Oh, you can see them so many places. If you go to Stratford, there's also a Shakespeare Theater right there on the river. And they have, like, even in Portland, Oregon, they put on Shakespeare plays every summer. And all over the world, there's a lot of places that put on Shakespeare plays.
Yeah. Well, Simon's closer than I even grew up, but there's a place in Ontario, Canada. It's not called Stratford-upon-Avon, but it's called Stratford.
Just Stratford.
And it's called Just Stratford, and we have so many live Shakespearean plays there.
Yeah. Well, I think there's so many quotes that people say. I hear a lot of people say, to be or not to be, that is the question.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of like quotes from him, you know. The way he said things was very dynamic, and people quote a lot of things Shakespeare said.
Right, because they're in his
place. Just like the Chinese would say, Confucius said, and British said, they say Shakespeare said.
Yes.
Same kind of idea, right?
Because so many of these are in his plays, which we can actually buy and read.
But it says here that many of his plays were set in far-flung destinations.
Yeah, that's
right. They weren't all in England.
So far-flung just means far away or at a great distance from England. And it lists a few of the places, Greece, Italy, Denmark, and a make-believe island in the middle of the ocean. And so those are different settings for his various famous plays.
I didn't remember that they were in places like that so much. But I think about the plays. Instead of, did you know they'd been in so many places? I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I suppose
yes,
so. But to be honest, the setting, you know, isn't maybe the most important part of the story with his stories. Because
it's more the characters that you remember.
Well, and he was writing at a time where, like, he had not been to those places. So it's not like you get a lot of details about what the place is like.
That's
You're just kind of told it's there, and then they get on with the story.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, if you've done Othello, well, Othello is definitely not in England or Scotland.
No,
so now I will pay attention where the plays are set.
That's right.
Because I think sometimes I always thought of them more around the grounds they were on or the buildings,
or the
that sort of thing, or the characters.
Right, that's true, yeah. But if you go here to Stratford, then you can visit, you know, his birthplace and the homes of his mother and his daughter and granddaughter. So they've preserved all that. That's a long, long time ago. Can you imagine the places, you know, being kept that long?
That's a lot of homes to preserve, too.
It
you
is.
Know, this is his granddaughter's house. This is his daughter's house. This is...
Yeah, I think if you do your research, folks can hopefully prove me right. If you go on Google, I think you can also find that there's people that like to claim they're related to Shakespeare.
Well, that's true, yeah. But, you know, most people that go there, they make a point of seeing one play, and they have the Royal Shakespeare Theater there. So if you're on a tour, they might say, do you want to see a Shakespeare play?
Yeah, and they use a very interesting phrase for that. They say, catch a performance, or catching a performance. So they say people make a point of, which means they kind of put it on their list of things they definitely want to do. They do it on purpose. They plan to do it, and then they catch a show.
If you don't have to catch one there, I think there's a Shakespeare Theater in London,
too. Of course, you can go to the Globe Theater
in
London. I have been there.
Okay.
So the Globe Theater in London is wonderful to go to, even if there's not a play being shown.
Right.
They do a great tour that hardly costs any money, and their tour guides are outstanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Shakespeare's had a great influence on literature, society. But if you want to go to Stratford, then you can also stay all night there in one of their historic hotels if you want to. But anyway, there's so many places to see around there. What's another place you could stay?
Well, you can stay at a place called Bilsley Manor Hotel. They tell us that that is a popular choice. And maybe that's a popular place to stay because it has a tiny chapel. And
mm-hmm.
a chapel, of course, is just a small church. And so at this hotel, there's a chapel and something really, really amazing.
Who got married there? Oh, I see. It says that Anne Hathaway married William Shakespeare, and they tell us the year was 1582.
Now that's a long time ago.
That is well over 400 years ago.
Can you imagine keeping in a place like that?
Well, I can because it's in the UK.
Okay, they really do try to keep up those mm-hmm. places, you know.
No.
And they're nice to look at. I don't think we would like to live in them because now we want a lot of comforts in our houses, you know. They don't have all the good indoor plumbing and things like that that we have now. But they're nice to look at,
oh,
not
yeah,
to live
beautiful,
in.
Beautiful.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess the thing with that maybe some of our listeners will notice is that some of these writers lived a lot longer ago than others. And so it's harder and harder to find places connected to these people.
That's
as you
true.
Get further back in time, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if you study history enough, you'll realize that the UK and Europe really love to preserve their structures, whether they be a house, a castle, or a church. And, you know, I think that's partly why they have so many tourists go there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are so many things you can see and things you can do. But a lot of people do like to see a Shakespeare play sometimes when they're in England. If you don't see it in London at the Globe, you could see it at Stratford. But Stratford is a very interesting little town just to walk around and see all these different places.
Yeah, Stratford-upon-Avon is one place that a lot of people spend more time in than they think they would have.
And when you go there, you find that the people, that, you know, because there's a lot of tourists there, that a lot of people that own these little shops where they sell souvenirs and things, they dress up in these kind of clothes like they had during that Shakespeare time. So you feel like you're in another era. They don't wear modern kind of clothes. They try to dress up like Shakespeare costumes.
So you must feel like you went back in time, do
right.
you, Doris?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems like it when you're there. So it's a nice place to go. And of course, the next place that we have, I don't think about that as literature so much. I think about it as a beautiful place by the ocean that I love to go to, but I didn't think about it for literature, and that's Portsmouth, so let's read about it.
Five, Portsmouth. Hardcore Dickens fans will likely want to make a pilgrimage to the city of Portsmouth. Dickens was born in the city in 1812, and today his former home serves as the Charles Dickens Birthplace Museum, with three furnished rooms full of Regency-style decor, alongside a handful of authentic Dickens mementos. Costume volunteers show up on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month to add to the historic feel.
Well, we're talking about some hardcore fans. Now, we know who fans are. They're people that really, you know, like what you're doing there. They think, oh, you're great. But who are hardcore fans?
Well, they're people who are really, really dedicated to this interest of theirs. So they're people who make it part of their day-to-day life. And it's interesting because these fans are fans of Dickens, and they actually only mention his family name here, and that's because we talked about him in yesterday's program.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about London, we mentioned that Charles Dickens was mm-hmm. perhaps the best known, or at least the most celebrated author in that group we were talking about. He He's, of course, very, very famous, and he wrote a lot of books in sort of the 19th century, especially about London. But really? Here, we're in a different city.
I always kind of think about Dickens as London. I really didn't realize that he came from Portsmouth, but he was born there.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
and I don't think he lived there that long.
He was born there in 1812, so that's over 200 years ago.
Yeah.
I think some of us forget how long ago the 19th century was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting. I think that a lot of our listeners would love this area of England because you're down at the very southern tip.
By the ocean.
And you're out by the English Channel. That's right, Doris. And lots of people include Brighton when they go see Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what were you going to add, Simon?
Well, we were talking about these Charles Dickens fans being very hardcore. And so I was just going to mention, in a lot of Charles Dickens writings, a lot of his stories are about really kind of sad things, like tragic things.
Mm-hmm. Poor people.
Yeah, he describes a lot of like terrible situations,
mm-hmm.
and hard living,
bad people,
tragedies and bad people and dirty cities and all these things. But that's because he was a writer that really understood the power that writers have to change things. And so he was trying to promote changes within his society. And so that's why so many of his stories were set in London, because London in a lot of ways is like the heart and the center of England.
New York used to be and all those kind of things.
Yeah, and it was at that time, this was the center of the English-speaking world, as Simon is pointing out to us. And so it did have a huge influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here we're talking about Portsmouth, and we're talking about hardcore fans. And so these are fans who are really dedicated to Dickens because they're coming just to see his birthplace.
Right.
This isn't a place where his stories are set or anything like that. You have to really want to...
That's where he was born, right?
See the sites, you know, connected to this author. And they use another interesting word there. They mention a pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
Lois mentioned that word just at the beginning of yesterday's program. It's kind of a journey, almost a religious journey, where people really want to go and experience something that's very personal and very emotional for them.
That's true, right. Well, they have the Charles Dickens Birthplace Museum there, and they have these three furnished rooms there that really look like things that remind you of him. They are authentic Dickens mementos, not just something that somebody made up, but they said, this is from his period of time. They saved that for a long time.
Well, and it's interesting. They also tell us the style of the decor furnishings, and it says Regency. And we find out from our specialized terms that that was relating to a popular style of architecture, furniture, and literature in England. And I thought it lasted a longer period of time than this, but it was just from 1811 till 1820.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that word in yesterday's program, yesterday's portion of the article, but there it was used in a name.
Right.
It was in the section on Bath where they were talking about the tea room at the hotel. They mentioned it was called the Regency Tea Room.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's Regency hotels every place.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I wonder if we went into the Regency Tea Room, if it would have furniture from 1811 till 1820.
Yeah, but it's hard to tell because the root word of regency is regent, which really just means king or
right,
the queen,
it's just kind
right?
of royal.
So like,
royal
it's like saying
hotels.
The royal mm-hmm. tea room.
I think so, right? But anyway, it says that people really like to see some of the things that were left over from that time, and sometimes people come in a costume. Costume volunteers show up on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month to add to the historic feel. Just like I said, they do in Stratford. They wear the costumes that people wore on that day. So you get the feeling that you're way back in the 1800s.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
That's right. And you can actually see a picture of this house that Charles Dickens was born in. It's just under this section on page 17. And it's interesting to compare this picture to the picture right below it, which we mentioned is the house that Shakespeare was born in. You can see Shakespeare's house is really very big.
Different style, right?
Poor little Charles Dickens was born in a kind of an unattractive-looking townhouse.
Yeah, but a lot of people in Africa were living in huts in those days, so that's not bad.
And you know what? Those townhouses today would be worth a lot of money in Portsmouth. That's for sure, because it's not that far a commute to London.
Yeah, that's
but I
true.
Also want to remind our listeners, while we still have a little bit of time here, that when you go on this literary tour, or literature lovers when you go on these tours, please, when you're in Portsmouth, don't forget that it's also a Navy town. So you will want to see the maritime heritage there of the ships, the HMS Victory and the HMS Warrior. So you can evolve.
That'll be another lesson.
You can go for literature and you can go for history.
That's
lots
right.
to do in all of these places.
That's right. There's a lot to do in every country. So be sure and explore when you go there. And I hope that you have a good time exploring by just reading the lessons and getting the feel of these places. So thanks for being with us these 2 days, and read some of these books yourself, and we hope that you've enjoyed the discussion and we've enjoyed having you with us. So we'll see you again for a new lesson next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.